Welcome to Heart of the Psalmist, cultivating the heart of creatives. Now, your host, Sharvis Whitted.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Heart of the Psalmist. This is the show where we're asking God to create in us clean hearts so that we can create for Him. I'm your host, Sharvis Whitted. This is episode 22. Thanks for stopping by. And our topic today is going beyond brick and mortar. You know, sometimes as believers in Christ, even us creatives can testify that this is true. We tend to view the activity and the power of the Holy Spirit as something that only happens when we're in the four walls of the church. But when I look at the life of Jesus Christ, I see that power working everywhere. Today, I'm going to play back for you a teaching I did on one of my social media platforms in October. It was birthed out of an encounter I had in a parking lot at Home Depot. Some valuable lessons about a transformation that needs to take place and how we see where the Holy Spirit can move through us. Hope you enjoy it. Open your heart. Here goes.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Just coming on here really quick. I want to just share something that I experienced today. And so last night, my church, we have, and this is a good thing. This is just kind of a context for it. We always have prayer on Monday nights, and I went into our call in prayer, and the prayer was powerful. Prayer leader asked me, she called me Monday morning, texted me, and asked me to do an exhortation. She felt the Holy Spirit had something for me to give, and I just said, okay. I rearranged my schedule and got on there, and I just talked about how if you look at the life of Jesus Christ, you know, Acts 10:38 tells us that God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and power, and that he went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's a verse I've been meditating on a lot, and what I shared with the prayer group was that as I've been meditating on that verse the last couple of months, since we've all been isolated and quarantined at various levels, the Holy Spirit led me to ask and go research. You know, it says in Acts 38, and this is Peter talking at the house of Cornelius. The Holy Spirit kind of told me, you know, go back and read maybe one of the Gospels. And while Peter says that Jesus went about doing good, the Holy Spirit was with him, go back and research where Jesus was geographically when he was helping people. Specifically when he was healing the sick and when he was casting out devils. Where was he? And so I went to the Gospel of Mark. And of course, when you read the Gospel of John, you know, John says that there are many things that Jesus did that weren't recorded. A lot of signs and wonders. You know, all the books in the world couldn't hold it. But still, I went to the Gospel of Mark and I kind of did the busy work. I went through the whole Gospel and I just paid attention to every time it says that Jesus was healing people or casting out devils. Geographically, where was he? Geographically. And this is a rough count. Four times he was in the synagogue. We could loosely correlate that to what we call church today, the church building. However, that was only of the 18 times. So only four out of 18 times was he in what we would correlate to as brick and mortar, the church. The rest of the times he was somewhere else. He might have been by the seashore. He might have been at somebody's house, at his house. So Jesus, based on that count, he did a whole lot more stuff outside of the synagogue, outside of the church. And what I conveyed to my brothers and sisters before we prayed was that the Holy Spirit was in Jesus, but that Holy Spirit didn't just work at church. It worked everywhere, no matter where he was. And I just encouraged them that we have to get to a place, and I think this pandemic is really showing us this, we got to get to a place where we don't just bring people to church to get help. You know, we bring them there and we're hoping that the pastor will say something encouraging to them. We're hoping that maybe they'll get prayed for. We're hoping there's something they hear that will incline them to give their heart to Jesus Christ, right? We're hoping they'll get prayed for. We're hoping they'll get healed. But we've got to get to a place where we don't imprison the Holy Spirit to brick and mortar, that we recognize what Jesus said, that he would be with us and abide in us and with us forever, that he never leaves us. And I saw that in real action today. And so my wife and I, my family, we had to take something back to Home Depot. So we went to Home Depot, and as we were leaving the parking lot, and there were these two people. You could tell they were homeless. One guy was in a wheelchair. They looked real dirty. She had laid out a dirty blanket. They were sitting down. And I told my wife, we passed by them, and I said, no, we can't just pass by. I at least got to give them something so they can get something to eat, just a few bucks. So we turned the car around. I parked close to them. I wasn't afraid. You know, it was daytime. So I went over there, and I gave him the money. But then I just felt led. And really, I don't want to say I felt led. I don't want to make it that. I just felt that I needed to do a little bit more. So I just began to talk to the man. I talked to him, both of them, and I asked him his name. His name was Tim. And he began to tell me his story. And I noticed he was sitting in a wheelchair. The gentleman was. And they were rough looking. You can tell they were homeless. They didn't have anything. And he told me he was applying for disability, waiting on all that kind of stuff. But then when I asked him, I said, well, why are you in the wheelchair? And I want you to hear what this man told me. You see, I went just to make sure he had something to eat, but the Holy Spirit had something else in mind. This man told me that he had liver cancer. He had liver cancer. I wasn't in the church. I wasn't in the synagogue. I was in the parking lot at Home Depot. And just for compassion's sake, I stopped. But here is a man who has liver cancer. He's homeless. He's trying to wait on disability. He thought the cancer was spreading because he was starting to hurt more, but he couldn't afford to go to a doctor to get help. So here's a man who has a disease in his body that's just eating him away and killing him. He had gout in his leg. He told me that I could tell because his leg was up. He had a kind of wheelchair where he could put one leg up, and the knee was swollen. I just could see it. And right then and there, I said, I'm going to make a decision to be like my Lord and Savior. I'm going to be like him. I'm not going to wish him well. I'm not going to say, well, God bless you. I hope you get better. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus never told people that. When Jesus encountered people who were sick and when they were hurting, right then and there, whether they were in a synagogue or not, he tried to do something about it. So I told that man, I shared a testimony with one of my friends, Gabriel Bello. I'm going to tag Gabe on this video. I shared his testimony how when I had gone to college, our first years of college, he had got diagnosed with stage 2 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, went through the standard chemo treatment. It wasn't working. But they stood on the word of God, and miraculously God healed him. He went back to the doctor, and they couldn't find the tumors at all, and he's been cancer-free for about 20 years now. I shared that testimony with that man, and I looked that man in his eyes, and I told him that Jesus Christ loves you just as much as he loves me, and he loves my friend that he healed. I told him that Jesus does not have favorites, and that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did what was necessary for you to be healed. There's power in Jesus. And so I asked the man, I said, can I pray for you right now? He said, yes, you can pray. And I told the man, I said, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that Jesus would show you and that he would demonstrate to you that he is Lord, that he did come and that he did die on the cross and that he did break the power of sin and sickness. And so I prayed for that man in compassion. Not a long prayer, short. And I just prayed for that man. I spoke against that cancer in his liver and that gout in his leg. And I said, in the name of Jesus, in the next days, that knee's going to go down. And when you go back to that doctor, they're not going to find any cancer. It's not going to take your life in Jesus' name. And that was it. I walked in the car. And this is what I want to leave you with. You see, I wasn't in the church. And don't get me wrong. This is not an indictment against the church. I love church. I grew up in church. But you see, the devil don't just work in church. He works in a parking lot at grocery stores. He works in your neighborhood. He works on your job. He works at the school your children go to. When you're sitting in traffic, some of those cars there, he's working on some of those people too. And so if the enemy can convince us that the only place that the Holy Spirit works is in church, then all the people that aren't going to church that he has oppressed, they're going to stay oppressed. So I want to encourage you, during this pandemic, don't devalue corporate fellowship in the building. That's beautiful. That's marvelous. That's wonderful. I can't wait till we get back. But I want you to realize that there are people right in your neighborhood who are sick. Yeah, people right in your neighborhood who are oppressed by the enemy. I know some don't believe he's real. The enemy is real. It's real. It's not a joke. They're right there. When you go to the grocery store, when you go to the Home Depot, Lowe's, stay right there. And if you go to church and that Holy Spirit you say is on you, he's got you jumping and screaming and rolling around, so you say, could be. I'm not saying that can't be the case. It could be. But then the question you've got to start asking yourself is, where is all that power? Where is all that compassion when you're in the grocery store and you see somebody that looked like they got cancer? You got all that power that had you in church on stage just doing it big, man, had the church jumping on that organ, on them drums, whatever you do. And that's wonderful. That's marvelous. But is that all that power is for? Is it just for us to go to church and display to one another what the Spirit of God can do through us? That's not what Jesus teaches me. Hebrews says I should fix my eyes on him. He's the author and finisher of my faith. He's my example. And what I see my Lord and Savior doing through compassion, he shows us that when you really have the heart of God and you really understand why the Holy Spirit is in us, it's not there just for us to come to church and have a good time. The church is really the training field. We learn and then we go out to the mission field, which is the world. There's no need for us to fight for a stage in church because our whole life is a stage. Our whole life is an opportunity for us to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to work in us the same way it worked in Jesus. What did Jesus say? Greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. Do you realize the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus causing him to do all those works, causing him to heal the sick, cast out devils? That same Holy Spirit is in you. But do not allow the enemy to trick you into believing that because of this pandemic, because we can't go to church, you can't represent God. Oh, yes, you can. You can walk in your neighborhood and you can see somebody and ask them if they need prayer. You can walk in your neighborhood and when you see somebody that's in a wheelchair, don't just walk by. You need to be willing and necessary to be a fool in the eyes of men to honor God. You got to have enough compassion in you that you say, I cannot walk by. I'm at least going to ask them if I can pray. Since I've been trying to do this, I haven't encountered anybody yet that's told me, no, don't pray for me. Because people who need help, even if they don't believe in prayer, they're willing to give it a shot. And who knows, the power of God can work through you, heal somebody who has a terminal diagnosis, heal somebody who's oppressed by a devil, and demonstrate. Jesus said that these signs shall follow those who believe. It's time to act like we believe that the Holy Spirit is in us and that we do not have to be in a brick and mortar building. It's been amazing to me how hard we're fighting. Some of us are fighting to get back into a building. It's just amazing. We're fighting. I'm not saying there's nothing legitimate about that. I'm not saying that there aren't people out there that may be using this to try to attack us. I'm not saying that. But what's amazing to me is when I see people fighting so hard to get back into a building to do church, and yet there are people in your neighborhood that you know aren't saved, you know are sick, and you ain't done anything yet. When I look at the life of Jesus Christ, that's not what he was like. He showed the love of God no matter where he was. He didn't need a stage. He didn't need a microphone. That's not my problem. We want an audience. We want an audience. We want to put on a show. We want to look spiritual. Jesus Christ wasn't like that. Most of the time, Jesus would tell people, go tell nobody. He told the leper that he healed, just go show yourself to the priest. Do what the law required, but don't tell anybody. Jesus Christ was not after a stage. He just wanted to represent the Father. And he sent the same spirit that was in him and you to do the same thing. But man, we got to have his heart. Perhaps God is using this pandemic to show his people where their hearts are. Because I'm telling you right now, if you've been screaming and hollering about people keeping you from going to a building, and all the time you in Publix, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, Chick-fil-A, and you walking by people that are hurting and you do nothing, that's a hypocrite. I know I'm talking hard tonight. I really don't care. All I'm thinking about is this guy that I prayed for that has liver cancer, that has no health insurance. The only hope he had was the hope that I brought to him, Jesus Christ. And there are millions of people in the world just like that. They have no other hope. But the truth is, if you really believe that book, that Bible that we read, there's no greater hope than Jesus. Because the power of the Holy Spirit can blast through any sickness, blast through any cancer, blast through AIDS. It can blast through anything. But God wants to work through his people. We're the body of Christ. So what you going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to sit around, watch the live stream, just wait for it to come back so we can go back and start singing to each other? I remember a sister in Christ said something years ago when I was in Tallahassee. Enough light shining on light. Light is made for darkness. When we're in church, most of us, we are in the body. We got the light of the Holy Spirit in us. But Peter said that God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light so that we can proclaim his excellencies. He called us into his light so we can get his light and go right back where it's dark. Look at what Jesus spent his time. You said, I didn't come for those who are well. Those who are well don't need a physician. You're a doctor for Jesus. We are a church without walls. We are the ecclesia, not a building. Nothing wrong with a building. That's fine. I'd be glad we can go back. But being the church has nothing to do with brick and mortar. Being the church is about representing Jesus Christ. So listen, break free from brick and mortar. Don't let the enemy imprison the power of the Holy Spirit to that building. We fought over those stages long enough. The greater stage is your life. Trust me, if you just look around and have enough boldness and compassion and just ask sometimes, there are people you frequent every day who got sickness, they got disease. They're bound by the enemy. Sometimes they don't even know. They think it's something natural, but it's something supernatural. It's called spirit of infirmity. And God in his providence has put you in their geographical vicinity for you to do something about it. But the enemy don't convince you that you can't do nothing about it. All you can do is invite them to church. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't go post up in a synagogue and say, hey, y'all meet me at the synagogue. He went places. And whether he was in that synagogue or in Peter's mother-in-law's house, it didn't matter where he was, seashore, on a boat, it didn't matter. If somebody needed what was in him, he was ready to deliver. Let's get ready, church. Break free from brick and mortar. Represent Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit everywhere.
Amen. Well, I hope today's conversation blessed you. Let's make up our minds right now that in 2021, we will no longer limit the work of the Holy Spirit through us to what we do in the building we call the church. He can work through us anywhere. Well, this is our last episode for 2020. Please enjoy your Christmas. Have a happy new year. Be safe. Enjoy your time with family and friends. And we will talk again in January 2021. Take care. God bless.